Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Make Sense with Mental Leap, the show that places power in your hands and information for your mind. Let others leave small lines, but not you. Let others place their future in someone else's hands, but if you listen to the show, you'll make sure it's not you. We'll provide you with the keys, but it's up to you to unlock the door.
Welcome to Make Sense with Mental Leak. I apologize for the late start. We're having technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, but we're here, and we're going to do it big today. Today's guest, Andre Simpson of Young Black Wealth Builders, is here to discuss with us how to build wealth and the difference between wealth creation and riches. A lot of us are accustomed to riches, money, cars, gold chains and things like that. That's not wealth, that's riches. What we want to talk about today is how to gain wealth from where you are in life right now and what you can do to get further. So what we need you to do today is open your mind, take some notes, and be ready to apply everything that you learn. So without further ado, I'd like to bring my guest on, Andre Simpson. How you doing, brother?
Good, doing good. Can you hear me, Melody?
I can hear you, man. I apologize for the technical difficulties we were having. But I appreciate you for doing the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, first and foremost, I appreciate the opportunity come on to the show. It's just an absolute honor. A little bit about me. I'm from upstate New York. Actually, was raised in upstate New York, but was born in Illinois. So I'm from both places, actually. come from a large family. Have five brothers and two sisters. So it's been eight of us in all. And graduated high school and went right into the military. And just really wasn't a big person on school. I didn't do well in school, so I really didn't like school as much, but I didn't like the way we came up as far as, you know, first of all, a lot of people in our family, so there wasn't a lot of money to go around. So I really, really wanted to figure out what's not only what was going on in my house, but what was going on in the community that I grew up in as well. So that's just a little bit about me and why we're on this wealth path.
Okay. So before we go further, is there a quote or something that you live by that can help others?
Yeah, I would say there's actually two, if you don't mind. One is a Bible scripture that I live by, and that is a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And
right.
Again, knowing my family and just being able to look back at the generations of knowing my great-grandmother, and, you know, had opportunity to meet her, and when she passed, she didn't leave anything. And I knew my grandparents on both sides. When they passed, they didn't leave anything. And my parents are in the same position. And when they passed, they won't leave anything. So that's something I said, we have to change that, and it starts with me. And the second thing real quick is, if you find a problem, if you find a need and feel it, and you can feel that need, you can make riches or build wealth beyond your wildest dreams.
Right. That's excellent. So let's start there. How do we begin to leave an inheritance for our children's children? So what steps do we have to take in our lives? Where do we start?
Well, I would say the way to start is, first of all, understanding what's going to allow you to do that. Look at the vehicle that we're currently in. Is that vehicle going to allow you to leave something to your children's children? And if the answer is no, then you got to say, what vehicle can I get in? And that vehicle is going to be business. It has to be business, because you have the ability to make unlimited income. So you're not going to be able to leave. You can leave some money from a job working 40 years and, you know, maybe, you know, accumulate a substantial amount of money through a 401k or something like that, but I haven't met too many people that's been able to achieve that. and then right. passed on generation to generation to generation.
Okay, so tell me, what is the difference between riches and wealth?
Riches and wealth? Well, that's a good question. What I would say, riches, from my perspective, this is what I see. I see riches as a person that's rich. They have when it comes to money, from a monetary standpoint, that person has a lot of money. However, wealth is your ability to be able to survive without working, and your bills are paid. Meaning, okay. I might be a multimillionaire, and you would say, man, that guy's rich. However, I might have, on the other hand, you might have bills that's $3,000 a month. However, you have income, a stream of income that comes in that pays you $5,000 a month. Well, you don't have to go to work. That's wealth. So it's your ability to survive without having to get up and trade hours for dollars, and you have income coming in, and all your expenses are taken care of. So I might not be rich and have millions and millions of dollars in my investments. However, I'm wealthy because I don't have to trade my hours for dollars, and my expenses are taken care of well beyond my bills.
That's excellent. Now, you have a philosophy on wealth, and it's very practical. It makes a lot of sense. I'm not even going to try to quote it because I don't want to mess it up. But I know it starts in the mind. So you want to start with us there, explain, talk about what that philosophy is, and then, you know, give us a definition of how we can apply that to our life.
Yeah, our thing is when an organization is shift your mindset before you, if you shift your mindset, you can shift your income. But it starts with the mind. It starts with shifting the mindset, and that's huge because it's the way we've been brought up. And I pay a lot of attention listening to what we've been taught coming up. You know, you're sitting around with family, and you know you're eating your share of food, and your parents look over you and say, "Boy, you need a job. You know, you need to go get you a job eating like that." Or they say, you know, that's stuff, words that have been ingrained into us of what you need to go to school, make sure you get that good education, and then you can get you a good job. But nobody tells us to go and start a business. Nobody tells us to go and be wealthy. Nobody tells us, even if we're, you know, you're going to be a basketball player, you're going to be a football player, but nobody's telling us to own the team. Nobody's telling us to go and own the company, the organization. I want to be the guy sitting in the skybox. I don't want to be throwing the ball on the field getting tired. My mom used to say, "Boy, you should have went to the NBA." I don't want to be that tired. I want to sit up in the skybox, and I want to look. I want to own it. But it starts with shifting the mindset and what we've been taught when it comes to money. And if you shift your mindset, you can shift your income. And basically that means the way you bring money into your household. And the way we've been taught, there's nothing wrong with the job. I'm not here to bash the job, but the way we've been taught to earn income, there is a better way. And it just starts with the shifting of the mindset. And that's why we call ourselves Young Black Wealth Builders, because we have to teach our youth. And that's why, you know, some of them are out of control now, because they don't want to work for pennies. They don't want to trade hours for dollars. They want to live a life, live a great life, an awesome lifestyle, and they're ambitious. And when we don't even have jobs in our community, so I got to do something else to go get this money.
Right, right. And that does make a lot of sense. I believe that a lot of the youth today are rebelling, and I think that's because the information they have, they realize it doesn't fit, but they don't necessarily have the knowledge to go and do something better. And that's why with brothers like yourself, myself, and others, you know, we get that, we impart that information to them and apply it to our own lives, we will, you know, definitely make the changes that we need to make in society, you know, especially in our own community, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we shift our mindset. What is one of the first things we should shift our mindset to? What should I be looking at? What should I be looking for? What should I be doing, you know?
Well, there's many ways to get started on building wealth, and you know, when we, me and my wife, when we first got started, we were looking into business and looking into we looked into franchises. We want to basically here's a foundation of what we started with. We read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad. If you don't have that in your library, you want to make sure you get that. Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I'm amazed by so many people that have not read that book. It has to be a part of you. You have to read. It's mandatory. And from that book, we begin to understand that it says, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what the poor and the middle class teach their kids that the rich, well, what the rich teach their kids that the poor and the middle class don't. So what I begin to understand from that book is that the rich don't the wealthy people don't teach their kids to work for money. The poor and the middle class do. So
right.
it starts with having a mindset to say, how can I have income coming in? One, how can I make unlimited income? That's step one. And step two is how can I have income coming in without me having to trade my time for that money? In the beginning, you're going to have to feed that baby. You're going to have to whatever business that is, and I'll give you a couple examples. Let's say a franchise, any type of franchise business. You'll spend time in the beginning getting that thing up and running, but after a while, you're going to be able to walk away from it, and that income still keeps coming in. Whether you're writing a book or you're writing a song or you have a home-based business or any of those types, you want to look at it when you're evaluating a business. You want to say, hey, can I walk away from this thing and the income still be coming in? So that's how we evaluate it. And real quick, I will never forget a story. What this guy told me, he said, when he was 10, 11, 12 years old, his grandfather grabbed him and said, come here, son. Well, it was a white guy. Come here, son. And grandson set him on his knee, and he told him, he said, what's our last name? And he said, our last name is Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And he said, let me tell you something about the Wright family. He said, the Wright family doesn't work for anybody. He said, do you understand that? He said, yes, sir. He said, we don't work for anybody. We own our own businesses. That's just what we do. And just from that training, that young boy went out and started a lemonade stand and built lemonade stands all over his city. At the age of 17, when he graduated high school, he sold that lemonade stand business and paid full tuition for his college in cash. Went to college, graduated, and during school, he found a business, ran into a home-based business, actually, and now he's a $1 million earner, makes $1 million a year. Just from that mindset, that shift in mindset, that guy changed the course of his family, and that's the same thing that we're teaching our children. We're teaching that we have a little gumball machine, and that we sit on their dresser, and they know when money goes in, nobody has to do nothing to do. They didn't have to do any labor or trade any time to reap that money. They bought the gumballs, put it in the machine. Somebody drop a nickel or a dime, they go and take that money out, and that's what we call passive or residual income.
Right. It sounds like, you know, what you're saying is a lot of people are working for money, but the intelligent thing to do is to have your money work for you. Am I right?
Yes. We have to change that course. We have to change that course from working for money. I mean, we all can attest to that. And I always look at my parents. My dad drove truck for 20 years. And I'm sad to say he's still driving truck. And that's one of my goals is to retire him. Back is tore up, you know, trading hours for dollars all his life, and still has nothing to show for it, you know. So it's hard to see, and I see it every single day, time and time again, and nobody questions it. Nobody questions it. They just, you know, obliged to it. 40 years, I'm working 40 years, and hopefully I can have enough money to stop, and then they don't see it. They don't recognize it, and they don't question it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, with that being said, what is the difference then? I wouldn't even want to say what's the difference. But what do most people misunderstand about wealth? You know, you say, well, this person is working this many years and they're hoping. They don't necessarily know. They're just hoping, you know,
right,
that I'll have this money to retire. And with the way everything looks now, You know, you have to really pay attention to where your money is going and where your time is going if you choose to retire at a certain age. You really need to know. So what are we misunderstanding about wealth?
Honestly, I mean, and this is, again, from my perspective, I believe the first and foremost, again, is most people don't think there is another alternative. They really, I mean, for me, I didn't think there was another alternative until I was educated on it, until somebody shared it with me and said, here, take this and look at it. Most people, and obviously that's what most people are thinking, because 95% of people in America are retiring broke. So they, you know, first, they don't know that there, I believe, that they don't know there is a difference. And when they do find out that there is, you can be wealthy, it's now it's the ability to say, I'm going to change my course, change my actions, and it's like turning a semi trailer around and on a 2-lane road, you know. So it's like it's difficult for most people to grasp, and it's work. It's really a lot of work. If you see my library, I have book after book after book after book, because I have years of training. This is the only way to do it. So it's more of a mental thing. When we get past the mental aspect, then we can do everything else, because now our minds, and I'm going to give you a perfect example. I grew up in the inner city, and anybody that goes through the inner city, they're like, oh my God, this is, you know, this is horrible, this looks terrible, da da da. And we're and that's what we see. But from a person who says, I'm an investor, who now say, I can take this inner city and turn it into a thriving business district, now they see riches, they see wealth, because of the training, because of the mindset, because of the re-education that they have. So now my mind, when I ride through the inner city now, I'm like, oh, my God, that can be a business. That can be a business. That can be a restaurant. That can be this. That can be a gym. We can turn that. We can turn that warehouse, create so many jobs. I see a gold mine, you know. So it's the education and really just that shift in mindset. Mindset and understanding that you can build wealth.
It reminds me of something. I have a friend who lives in D.C., and I had picked him up from the airport. This conversation between me and him happened about 2 years back. So I picked him up from the airport, and we took a ride through Chicago. You know, he wanted to see the hood or whatever. And I'm like, man, you know, ain't nothing around here. And he pulls the old, what do you see? I'm like, man, I see the hood, man. I see dirt. He said, man, I see a gold mine. I'm like, what? So the whole ride back, to where I live, you know, Northern Illinois University, that area, the whole ride back, he was talking to me about how he puts money into the hood. That's where he makes his money at. He doesn't steal from the people. He gives services to the people, and he's very wealthy, and he is a very wealthy brother, you know, but he sees what other people can't see. You know, he said, right. People are seeing trees, you know, and I'm seeing the seeds, you know, I'm seeing the houses from the forest, you know, I'm seeing things that people aren't seeing, because people are looking with their eyes and they're not looking with their mind. And once you look with your mind, you're going to see what all the foreigners who come into the black community see. They see wealth, but you don't.
Exactly. Perfect example. Perfect example.
Yeah, but what you said reminded me of a quote from Jim Rohn, where he says, walk away from the 97%. Don't use their vocabulary. Don't use their excuses. Don't use their language. Don't use their mindset of drift and neglect. You know, don't use their philosophy to live. You know, walk away from the 97%, you know, which it does make a lot of sense. You want to change what you do. You want to look at those who are succeeding and not doing what the majority are doing, you know.
That's right. I mean, right, you're right. I try to go, that's my thing too, is like exactly what you just said, is I try to do, before I do anything, I say, which way is the whole world going? What is everybody else doing? And I try to go the opposite way. I have two brothers in corporate America doing very well in corporate America. And I say, I know the end of that. Even though you might be making good money, I know the end of that. I know where it ends. And one of my brothers, both of them actually, they change jobs more than I change my son's diapers, you know, because they're always – there's always something coming up. They hate this job. They hate this boss. They hate this. They hate that. The money, you know, they you know, they're not getting paid what they're worth and what they're being billed out for. So it's just being able to see And I tell them, you know, you make $8,000 a month. I would rather make $4,000 a month not working than to make $8,000 a month trading my hours for dollars and going through the mess that they have to go through to get that money.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Now, if you look through history, you'll notice that it's usually one person or two, but it's usually one person that they may be ridiculed, but they go through a lot of things, but everybody ends up following that trend. You know, it's usually one person, you know. At one time, they believed the world was flat, and it was one person saying, nah, the world's not flat. You know what I mean? At one time, it was the belief in certain parts of the world was that, you know, the earth was the center of the universe. Nah, I don't think so. You know what I mean? It was one person that said that, you know, the Wright brothers. It took those two guys to, you know, create the airplane. You know, when you had people coming to watch them every day to fail, you know, you're never going to get rid of the chariot system we have, you know. But it was, it's usually the minority. You know, when you look at what the minority is doing, once they succeed, or not succeed, but once you see them going in a positive direction, you kind of want to jump on that, you know what I mean? Or you want to be that person, you know what I mean? But it's not an easy road. So,
no.
So what are some of the habits we need to institute in our everyday lives to create wealth? What are some wealth habits?
I'm going to give something tangible. It's one of the things that we began to learn was that when it comes to building wealth, and I didn't really consider this at all, and that one of the things that's going to stop you, let me put it this way, the biggest thing that's going to stop you from building wealth is taxes. I thought it would be, you know, if you have my wife has college, you know, college debt, we have a mortgage. You think that's going to be the thing? Oh, if I can get this college paid off, if I can get this mortgage paid off, and I can start pouring more money into investments. Your biggest thing that's going to hinder you from building wealth is if you're a W-2 income stream, and only a W-2 income stream, it's going to be your taxes, because you're getting taxed anywhere from 28% to 33%. So Uncle Sam is taking his money right off the top. And what I've learned is that business owners are taxed in a range anywhere, because of the write-offs and the deductions that they qualify for, they're taxed anywhere in the range from 18% to 23%. And the process that it goes in, real quick, is that when you're a W-2 income stream, you work, you're taxed, and then Uncle Sam says, okay, here's the rest that you can live off on, and you try to live off of that. But as a business owner, you work the business, then you get to spend the money, the business spends the money, and then you're taxed on what's left over. You have to get your taxable income, your taxes down, your taxable income down, and put the more of that back and become a business owner so that you can keep that money and be able to pour it into your investments.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that we can grab a hold of and do right now when it comes to building wealth. But the main thing, too, when it comes to building wealth is, and I'm a big proponent of this, is you got to get your income up. You know, a lot of people are looking for, how can I invest? I talk to a lot of people on a daily basis, and they want to go straight to investing but have no money. You got to make more money. You got to make more money. You got to get your income up. I'm going to stop right there.
Okay, well, what ways do we do that, though? No, we want to go into it. So let's say that and others, I don't have that education. You know what I mean?
Right.
What ways can I build my income?
Right. For the average person that's out there, and this is the route that I took. I've always wanted to be in business. And my background is military, is in the United States Air Force. And I always looked at little businesses. I used to grab the Entrepreneur magazine out of the bookstore and look in the back and look for business opportunities and stuff like that. And the reason why, I didn't have a lot of cash.
Right.
Didn't have a lot of capital to go and purchase me a McDonald's or purchase me a Burger King. So I tried to see, you know, what business I can start out of the, you know, the back of the magazine. And those still required a capital of a couple thousand dollars, $2,500 or whatever. Didn't have that either. So I was introduced to a home-based business and or a network marketing type business. And that's where I've been able to come in and make money. And that's what I would recommend that most people do if you don't have the capital to go into business. That would be the best thing to do. And not only just because to build that business, but because of the tax deductions. There's over 475 tax deductions that you qualify for, and it's something that you can build while you're still working your job, and it's flexible. It's something you can do from the comfort of your home. And again, you get a ton of tax deductions as well that's available to you. You can write off your cell phone, you can write off your internet, you can hire your children in business, lower your taxable income, bring more money back into your household.
Right. That is an excellent way. So are there some network marketing businesses that you suggest?
I mean, there's a few out there that you can I really won't recommend any because everybody's different based upon, you know, what's important to you. There's, you know, you have the weight loss and you have the people have the drinks and the shakes and stuff like that. You have a couple of finance companies and things of that nature. So, I mean, there's a lot. You just really have to look into it and see what works best for you. And, you know, there's a lot of you see a lot of stuff out there on the internet. People always saying there's make money, and then there's, you know, there's scams and the pyramids and things. People are afraid. They say, hey, I'm not messing, I'm not touching that. Or they call them pyramid schemes and stuff like that. You have to understand that these businesses are legit. Some of them, you know, have their, you know, everything has something wrong with it. Some people that's always trying to do something that they shouldn't be doing, but for the most part, you listen to the presentation, you see if it makes sense. You should be a good judge of character, and then determine if it's something that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, then don't mess with it. But for the most part, these companies are legit.
Right. Okay. I mean, and another thing is that selling is the hallmark of almost anything, though. Anything you do, you have to have that skill. And really, a lot of products sell themselves. But we take, you know, a lot of us try to take positions where we don't feel like we have to sell. I'm not good at selling. And not realizing that anything you do, you're selling yourself every day. In fact, you're your own boss every day. You may have an employer, but in truth, you're your own boss. And what better way to develop your skill by getting out there and, you know, going out on a limb and saying, you know what, I'm going to do this face-to-face. I'm going to start off at the ground level and build myself up. Because that works a long way, you know. And I can say it personally helped me when I was 17, 18, 18. I had joined Primerica, and I can tell you the skills that I learned from working with them, you know, has helped me in a lot of avenues, you know what I mean? It has opened a lot of doors for me in life. I didn't develop those skills. I wasn't learning the things that they taught me. I probably wouldn't be as far as I am now, you know?
Right. And I agree. The industry, again, from reading Rich Dad Poor Dad, and he also recommends, like, a home-based business, a network marketing type business, and he said it's just the skills that you will develop. I really think it's great, especially for our youth as well. And I've met a lot of people who started a home-based business in college, and when they graduated college, they were already making a substantial amount of money. So the skills that you develop as well, and me too, I didn't have people skills and didn't have the people skills, and I've had to learn it because I want to be able to change the course of my life for my family and be able to do things. And I also look at these businesses as a catapult. And that's what, you know, I look at it as a catapult to where what you ultimately want to do. So I hear people say, oh, I want to start this. People always, you know, contact and say, how can I get capital for this? How can I get capital for that? And I'm like, go out there, develop the skills, develop the sales skills, like you're saying, learn how to do business, learn how to talk to people, learn how to make money and make the money at the same time to obtain the capital for the business that you want to do, you know. So it's a bridge. It's something that'll catapult you to where you want to go, what you want to do.
Right. You know? So how important is home ownership in building wealth?
Honestly, my thoughts, and I'm standing in my home right now. First and foremost, a liability when it comes to, when it comes to building wealth, it's a liability if you're living in it. If you're buying properties, then you can utilize that to build wealth. But from my perspective, and I tell my wife, I said, "You want to sell?" She said, "Nah, we keep in the house." So, but from what I'm learning from other wealthy people, is that a home is a liability. I mean, we constantly getting ready to get our floors done, wood floors. We're constantly shelling money out. It hasn't brought me in a dime yet, but I understand what everybody's thinking. You're thinking, but you are building equity. I am building equity. And when we get ready to, we bought it as a short sale, and when we sell it, we'll probably get twice what we made for, what we paid for it. But that's not always guaranteed. And in the meantime, who's going to help me resize my front yard with these wood floorings? But we also are looking into and doing some investing in homes as well. But first and foremost, so what I'm saying is, if you are thinking about home ownership, and this is from my perspective, I would definitely start building my investments first. I would definitely I'd get my income up. I would increase my income. I would get me emergency funds saved up. I would make sure that I get out of debt, get my debt paid off, and I would get me a substantial amount of money saved up, because a lot of times you're going to have to pay if you don't have. I had a VA because I was military. I didn't have to put a down payment on my home. You're going to deplete most of your savings trying to put a down payment on the home as well. So I was, if you can, bear where you're at and really get your income up, and you want to have your income exceed your expenses so far that your quality of life is excellent. And then when you decide to buy a home, you knowing that you can go in that home comfortable, buy your new furniture, buy your new appliances, or whatever it is that you want to get, and do it comfortable. But you don't want to go into that home from an apartment or renting a home, and then you're back struggling check to check because you're trying to live nice, and then you got two car notes and all this stuff. It's hard. You're stuck in the rat race now.
Right, right. And what are some things that millionaires do differently when it comes to that? And as far as looking good and being good, do they, a lot of millionaires or wealthy people, I should say, do they have car notes, or do they have certain type of car notes? Are they as flashy as we believe them to be?
Yeah. They are. I know a millionaire, a guy who makes a couple million a year. And one of the things that he told us, he says, do not start buying your toys. Good question, man. Do not start buying your toys till later. He said that he was making $80,000 a month, but he was living off of six. And he was continually putting money away into his investments and living comfortable off of six. That's what him and that's what me and my wife do. That's our goal, is to continue to stock money away. Find a comfortable area where we can live at. Even though you're making a ton of money, don't mean you have to continue to raise your lifestyle. Once you have your set amount that you want saved, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, then you can start buying all your toys, because now you got to get your family set, put it that way. And what I mean by set, let's go ahead and talk about that. Set to us, me and my wife, our goal is $10 million. That's set. $10 million saved at 5% will return us $45,000 a month for the rest of our life. Well, that would outpace inflation. That would outpace anything that we have to worry about, and it'd take care of everything. Once we're gone from here, that $10 million is going to be passed on to the next generation, and they'll live off, my kids will live off the interest of that and pass that on to the next generation. So whether your set number is $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, you want to get you enough saved up where you can live off the interest of that money. Now, I know millionaires who I talked to, several of them, who drove their cars that they had when they were in college. I have a friend now who owns a Papa John's restaurant, and he has the same car that he had when he was in college. And that's by choice. That's by choice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting a new car, but again, your expenses and your income, there needs to be a huge gap before you start taking on those extra responsibilities, trying to look good and impress everybody.
Right, right. So let's get into saving then. How much, you said he was saving how much a month?
He was saving, he was making a lot of money. He was saving, he was making about $80,000 a month, living off of six. So he was saving 74, just putting it away, socking it away. His goal was to get to his first million, and when he hit his million, have a million saved, then he was going to start buying his toys and doing the things or whatever his set number was, for them to be comfortable. But just getting set was the main thing. Yeah.
Right. So how do you invest that money? You know.
Well, for beginning investors, most of us are taught, actually beginning is setting up an emergency fund. And that's what we teach in our organization. The first thing you want to set up is an emergency fund. And it's not necessarily in a bank or a savings account. We set it up in a money market account through like a Vanguard or a Fidelity, American Funds, mutual fund type companies. And then you want to go in and set up your IRA. And when you set up an emergency fund, you want to have at least $3,000 to $5,000 put aside. Once you do that, which I know a lot of people don't even have that, but once you do that, then you want to go and open up your, you might have a 401k at your place, at your work, but if you have that, that's great. But you also want to set up an IRA as well. And you can, don't do it through the bank. You go to, Vanguard, Fidelity, Smith Barney or something like that. Like you said, through Primerica, they have agents who are licensed in investments, and they'll educate you on it and how that works, and they'll teach you the game. And our organization does too. But we'll show you where to go to invest that money. You want to get a higher rate of return on the money that you're saving and investing.
Okay.
Versus the bank. So,
all right.
mutual funds is another thing. We have an IRA with a mutual fund company.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I know the best formula. Well, I know the best thing to do is to create multiple streams of income.
Yeah.
What's the best formula for creating multiple streams of income?
The best formula. What I would say is, work within your niche. When you're creating multiple streams of income, and here's what I mean by that. Our niche is uplifting our community. So, anything that I do when it comes to earning income, I know it's going to be around that niche of uplifting our community, and because if not, you probably won't even give it the necessary energy that it desires in order to make that stream continue to flow. So, for instance, we have our goal is to build wealth. Our phase one of our goal is to get ourselves in a position where we have wealth to do what it is that we need to do. So that would be our first stream, and we do that through a home-based business. Our second stream would be to now take that wealth and begin to create businesses in our community, or whether we're writing a book, or I've also, let me tell you something I did real quick too. I did a CD. I was in the military for 8 years, and I went in broke, and the first 4 years I came out broke. So I went back in, and I bought a house. I saved some money, and I got out of debt. So what I did was I went and I recorded an audio, and I put it on the internet and did a video on YouTube and put it the audio right up underneath the YouTube video, and I sold it for $3. Just wanted to see if I can create a stream of income doing it that way. And the video probably has about 40,000-50,000 views. And every now and then I get a PayPal notification that somebody purchased the audio. And basically what the audio was about was the mistakes that we make, that young airmen or military troops make going into the military when it comes to their money. So you want to find a niche. I can write a book, put it on the internet. There's so many things that you can do. You can create video courses online to create multiple streams of income. A lot of people want to find something within their gifting. And there's so much that you can do right now with the internet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So much.
Okay. All right. So, specifically for young black men and women, what is something, a trend you're seeing with us that if we change that trend, one or two things will put a lot of money back in our pockets and back into our community?
This guy does an example in a friend of mine in Atlanta, and he's a black business owner, and he gets a group of people in the room and tells everybody to hold up a dollar, and they hold up a dollar, an imaginary dollar, and he says, now everybody pass that dollar around the room amongst each other, pass it around, and everybody pass it around. And he says, number one, has that money left the room? They say, no. Number two, does everybody have money? Yes. So he would say, if we keep the money within our community, then we all can be rich. We all can build wealth. The thing is with our community, our money comes in and it goes out. It doesn't stay in our community. It doesn't bounce one time in our community. We have trillions of dollars of, we call it buying power, but it's not, because we ain't buying anything. We're sending it out the other way. So if we could ever build a community where that money is circulating like the other communities, Jewish community 12 to 14 times, or Arab community, the Asian community, white community, they bounce their money around with each other multiple times. And therefore, their communities are thriving. But we, like Dr. Anderson said, we break our neck to, when we get off work, we go home and take that money right to the mall and give it away. So if we can ever get our money back together, and that's that problem that I'm working on. Because if you can fix that problem, you can find a need and fill it, you can build,
right,
build wealth.
Yeah. Let's talk about Powernomics with Dr. Claude Anderson. My last guest was big on Dr. Claude Anderson, too, and Powernomics. Can you explain to those listening what Powernomics is and how we can apply his philosophy, his principles, and how it benefits us?
Yeah. And if you haven't read that book, you got to get that, too. If you're listening, you haven't read Powernomics by Dr. Claude Anderson, you have to put that book in your library. There's another brother by the name of Dr. James Klingman. Klingman. He has a book called, he's got numerous books. Blackonomics is one of them, and he's got one for the youth as well, I believe. But powerful brothers in sharing this information. But to me, the Powernomics plan is basically saying, like, you know, Dr. Anderson says so many things on so many levels from a political standpoint, but the main thing is the economics. We have to build communities. We have to build communities where we get that money flowing amongst each other. Now, here's the problem, is that unity, we have a unity problem. We have a lot of problems that need to be solved and addressed. But if we can ever build a community and get the community on the mindset level to buy in and understand the power, like I said, Powernomics, the power of our dollar, and how it will benefit us, and we're gonna do it. Then we can really change the course and change a lot of lives, because it starts right there. All the mess that's going on, the killing and the shooting and the teenage pregnancy, all that will slow down because now there's finances. And not saying that that's going to be the key. Everybody plays a part in this. You know, there's a spiritual side, and there's, you know, this side and there's that side. There's a lot of sides to play, but I'm talking from a financial perspective. That's going to help because there's jobs, there's business owners, there's positions available, there's kids seeing different dynamics, seeing us owning businesses. They have the ability to communicate with older, you know, seeing doctors and, you know, that success going on in our community. They're seeing different things, and that changes the dynamics of what's going on in our community. So it plays a huge, huge part in economics.
Okay, yeah. I see that. And, you know, I look at it as like a cake. You need a lot of ingredients to make a cake.
Right.
You know, some I'm not worried about money, you know, mm-hmm. or I'm not worried about this or that. Some are very spiritual, but then they may
right.
lack the physical component or the health component or the financial component that you need. You know, when one component is missing, all the other components suffer. You know, you want a nice
right.
balance. You don't want to be real high in one area and low in another. So for me, it's like a cake. You need the flour. You need the eggs. You need the vanilla and the sugar and all those ingredients. And then when it comes together, it's just a cake. You don't say, oh, you know, this is flour. You know what I mean? No, it becomes a cake. So you need all those ingredients. And I think it's 100% correct when you talk about the financial component, because that is a component we're missing. But the financial component without character, you know, without spirituality, you know, because another component that's missing, not just in the Black community, but in the country, is character. We have a lot of great people with great personalities and great personas, but they don't necessarily have great character, and that's why the country is in the condition it's in. And since the Black community has always been the lower socioeconomical part of the country, we suffer worse. So it looks worse, but it's just a microcosm of what's going on in the whole country. So the whole financial component is huge, you know, it's very big, you know, so we can't talk about one without seeing its importance to the other. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Strong. That's strong.
So, in Florida, what are some of the things you're seeing, the financial trends that you see may affect the whole country or where I'm at, Chicago?
Yeah. Well, as far as that, my main focus is on the community and rebuilding the communities. And I really, as far as affecting the financial trends, it's like I see each demographic is different, and it's going to take different people to handle different areas because I'm not familiar with, and I know Chicago is huge, and it's like, and I already thought about it, I'm like, man, if we ever go into Chicago to start, you know, rebuilding and doing those things, because I know Dr. What's his name? Dr. Webb from Chicago. I'm talking about
Watkins.
You know him?
Boyce Watkins.
He passed away not too long ago. But he was like a big proponent of black business, and he was from Chicago. But I have to get his name for you, but it's here. I really don't pay attention because I'm just so focused on what we have to do, and it's like I hear. Actually, I talked to some people here in Florida, and it's like, well, just from a financial standpoint, and it's like it's like they say you're not a prophet in your own land, and I've had the hardest time building our financial organization just here in Tampa. But we haven't really got out and really beat the streets. But just a few people that I have talked to just from on the phone, I haven't had any success just building right here in Tampa. But, again, we're in a process right now where we're getting ready to go out locally and start actually doing seminars and speaking to organizations and speaking even in people's living rooms, teaching this information. We're going to get a little bit more aggressive because we got to get it out, and it's going to happen. We know the numbers, so we know that it's called critical mass. If you can get 1 to 3% of the people who will wake up and say, hey, I see it, I hear what you're saying, let's go. Once we hit that 3% mark, then critical mass kicks in, and then that following just jumps right in. So around other areas, bigger areas like Chicago, it's the same thing, that critical mass. It might take a little bit more, But once we hit that critical mass, then it's on. That's right. What I believe. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Anything you want to say before we close out?
No, I definitely appreciate the opportunity to share. Speaking from my heart. And our thing is just we have two phases of what we're doing here with Young Black Wealth Builders. We have a huge presence on Facebook, and we have a lot of followers. But what we're doing right now is just laying a foundation to build wealth and changing that mindset. That's what we're doing through social media, just getting that mindset out, And then, but at the same time, our goal is to help 1 million people go into business. We have to go into business. That's wealth transfers 6 to 8 times faster from having a business than you will on a job. So we have to get our people going into business. Out of every 1,000 of us, I think it's 1,000 or 100. I forget which one of them. But only one of us are in business, and that's not good. We have to go into business if we're going to build wealth and leave something. So that's plan phase one. Phase two is to take that wealth and those wealthy business minds and those business owners, and for now us to come together and start rebuilding our communities. And that's when my plan is to sit at the feet of Dr. Anderson, sit down with Dr. James Klingman and all those guys who was sharing with us the plan on how to develop. Because the problem that I see is that they have the consciousness, but they don't have the capital to make it happen. And we have to bring the consciousness and the capital together. I mean, a lot of brothers with the capital but no consciousness. So if we can bring those two together, we can make some big things happen. So phase one, we got to get money out of the way. And then phase two, it's time to start building. So that's what we're doing here.
We actually have 5 callers on the line. I at least want to take one call before you get off the line. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely.
Right, hold on 1 second. I know who this caller is. Got you on the line, caller.
It's me.
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I can hear you. How you brothers doing?
We're good.
Good.
You have a question, comment?
Just wanted to leave a comment and say that it's very good to hear this type of conversation going on, and that more of our young people need to tune in to that type of energy and that same goal and mind state to be a business owner and to know how to build wealth. Definitely something that can change the community around. We're working on the same thing in our city, so I'm excited to hear such a positive response and to hear the good work. And Brother Kelvin, keep up the good work. It's definitely good to hear you doing good, and definitely leave your information so we can connect afterwards. If you're out in Florida, we got to connect in Florida as well. So I just wanted to share that word of encouragement right quick.
Appreciate that.
All right, well, Brother Andre, do you want to give the people your information, how they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our organization, Young Black Wealth Builders, we affiliate with an organization called the Extra Digit Movement out of Atlanta. We're in Tampa. And basically what we do is we are a financial education company. We teach wealth building strategies. And we teach a strategy called income shifting, and we show people how to go from employee to business owner to ultimately an investor. And we show you how to shift your income, and we teach you how to minimize taxes, how to eliminate debt, how to increase your cash flow, because one of the things, problems that we have is we don't have enough cash flow. We talk to a lot of people, and they say, I don't have any money. Well, the first thing we show you how to do is increase your cash flow just at your job by understanding your W-4. It's a lot of education there. So the way to get in contact with me is, I'm going to give you my home office number. It's area code 813-395-5272. I'll say that again. That's area code 813-395-5272. Our email address is youngblackwealthbuilders with the S, Young Black Wealth Builders at the end, at gmail.com. And again, that's Young Black Wealth Builders at gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook as well at Andre Simpson. And there's two, I have two pages, but Andre Simpson, you'll see in parentheses, say Young Black Wealth Builders. Click on there, follow us. Friend, I think our friends are maxed out, but follow us or send me an inbox message, and I have room for more friends on there. But appreciate the opportunity, definitely.
All right. All right. Well, I thank you for being on the show. We definitely will connect very soon again.
Okay.
We'll definitely do a part two sometime in the near future. So
absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Next week's show, we have two shows next week, and these shows are heavy, so it's going to be a heavy week next week. The first show, we're going to, on Wednesday at 7:30, we will have the Clear the Airwaves Project, and these are young men and women who have been taking iHeartRadio and Clear Channel to task. iHeartRadio and Clear Channel owns a lot of the urban music stations, and through the research that the Clear the Airwaves Project has gathered, they've shown the correlation between the music and the behavior of young men and women in our community, in the black community, rather, and in the white community as well, but definitely in the black community, showing us the behavior, how this music affects the behavior. So you get a lot of killings, drug dealing, and a lot of it's attached to the music, the media, and they want us to help them put a stop to this. And I think it's a wonderful movement. They have some great things to say. They've had meetings with iHeartRadio and Clear Channel, and some disturbing things have come out of these meetings. The most disturbing thing is that to them it's about the bottom line. And, you know, when you look at the youth, you're actually looking at our future. You know, you're looking at your future. And what do you want your future to be? You know, I want my future to be bright and happy, and I want to give them the best chance to succeed. So we got to pull up some of the weeds from the garden to make sure that that happens. And that means we're going to have to change our thinking and how we do things. So some of the music we listen to, some of the things we watch, you know, we will have to change. And then on Thursday, dealing with the police and a multicultural society, that's a huge issue right now in the black community and in the country. A lot of people are attaching themselves to what's going on with the police, and they are not happy with what they're seeing. Well, the police are the servants of the people, and I'm going to have two police sergeants on who I think are very intelligent men and have a, I would call it a new way of dealing with the community, how they operate as police officers. But they understand the history of policing, good and bad, and we're going to get into that, and we're going to be looking to take your questions for that. But these gentlemen are very focused, and they're some of the best police officers you're going to see. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like to hear that because they don't think there are any good police officers, but I'm telling you that there are some good ones, and we need to back them so they can institute the right type of policing for the community. In fact, policing should be community-based, and with these gentlemen leading and individuals who think like them and take those thoughts and put them into action, we will get the type of policing that we need and the type of police community interaction. So that's it for today. I think my guest, Andre Simpson, I think the caller that I took, other callers, we will get to you. Next week we'll have the chat open. We're still having some problems on Blog Talk Radio, so I wasn't able to open the chat, but next week we'll have the chat open. So again, I'll see you next week at 7:30. If you have any questions, comments, concern, you can reach me at MenelikShaw.com, MenelikS@gmail.com, or MenelikShaw on Facebook. That's all we got for this week. God bless you. Take this information, apply it to your life, and be empowered. God bless. Thank you.